Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been walking in the Holy Spirit every single day? That's the difference in your walk, to be filled with His Spirit. The only way we can do that is being filled with the Spirit and us being put out of the way.
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store for. In Christ.
Welcome back to In Christ Radio. Last time in the Building Foundation series, we covered Ezra chapter 6 in its entirety. We saw the temple completed and the people rejoicing. What was sown in tears was finally reaped in joy. Today we move into Ezra chapter 7 with verses 1 through 10 in a message titled, Three Keys to Building the Foundations of Our Heart. In this passage, Ezra steps into the scene. He's described as a man skilled in the law of Moses, but more than that, we're told something deeper about his heart. Ezra had set his heart in three clear ways. In the same way, the Holy Spirit leads our heart. 1, to seek God's word, to pursue truth personally, not casually, to live it out, not just to learn from it, but to obey it. And 3rd is to teach others, to pass it on, helping others in their walk too. These are not rushed decisions. They are settled commitments. And through that, God's hand was on Ezra's life. Strong spiritual foundations aren't built quickly. They're built intentionally as we seek, live, and share God's word. So which of these areas, seeking, living, or sharing God's word, needs to be strengthened in your life right now? Let's turn to Ezra chapter 7 and join Pastor Ben in today's message. Three keys to building the foundations of our heart.
You guys brought your Bibles, grab them and go with me to the book of Ezra chapter 7. The book of Ezra chapter 7. We are in the book of Ezra tonight. It's a series called Foundations, and that's important. The series, we called it that is because remember, here's what you've got to remember. If you were to tweet, if you will, the book of Ezra, you could say that God's people went home to build the temple foundation, but God built in them his foundation. And tonight's Bible study is no different than that. And so it's just amazing, guys. As I was studying chapter 7, we're going to look at 10 verses tonight, but as I was studying that, I was just blown away by how amazing God's word is and just how he puts it together and how it ties into the New Testament and in the whole gospel message. And so it's just going to be just an amazing time in his word. If you're taking notes, guys, just the main theme of the book is God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. We know the key verse is found in Ezra 9:9. We're almost there, but we're in chapter 7. But 9:9 says this, "For we were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage. But he extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to revive us, to repair the house of our God, to rebuild its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem." And that's the gospel message right there. You can just see that. You and I were once slaves in sin, guys. We were just trapped. And God didn't forsake us while we were there. He extended his mercy. I just love that. I love that. And he comes to revive us and to repair us and to build its ruins. So give me a good amen if you are in Ezra chapter 7.
Amen.
Amen. There was a great architect by the name of Frank Lloyd Wright. He was given the challenge of building the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo, one of the most earthquake-prone cities in all the world. Well, Wright's investigation showed that a solid foundation could be floated on a 60-foot layer of soft mud underlying the hotel, which would provide a shock-absorbing but solid support for the immense building. Shortly after the hotel was completed, it withstood one of the worst earthquakes in 52 years, with lesser buildings fell to its ruins around it. As I was thinking about that story, it reminded me of the series in which we called Foundations. And so tonight, I'd like to talk to you about building a foundation and reminding you right now in our story, in our study, the temple foundation, guys, is finished. It's finished. The temple foundation has been laid. It's been built. It's finished. Now, I believe that God wants to continue to build a foundation, not only there physically, but in the hearts of men. And in order to understand what God wants to do in the spiritual, we have to do some work in the book of Ezra. I'm often asked, how come you repeat what you talked about last week? Because statistics say that we only remember only 10% of a lecture or study or a Bible study like this. We might remember something that was funny or, hey, that was a great antidote, or I have a quote up here that's going to just kind of like, oh, wow, you know. But I want to go over it so you get a good feel. And so please labor with me for just a moment. The book of Ezra in the Old Testament is an amazing story of rebuilding the city of Jerusalem and the temple of the living God. It's God keeping his promises. And I think that's something that you and I need to hang on today. Holding on to the promises of God. He hasn't forsaken us. He hasn't left us. He's still here. And we want to hold on to that. And Ezra is about God keeping his promises. In chapters 1 to 6, we discover that the Jewish people went back to Jerusalem to build the temple. Keep in mind, guys, put on your thinking caps. In the book of Nehemiah, we're going to see Nehemiah come back and build the walls. So we're seeing the temple, we're seeing the first part of Ezra. We will probably continue on in the book of Nehemiah as we go through the summer months, but he's coming back, Ezra's coming in, and he's coming back to rebuild the temple. Now, something's going to be very interesting. I want you to kind of hold on to that. But let's go back for just a moment. In your minds, remember that the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar came in and just destroyed everything. What you need to understand and feel the weight of what we can't just sit there. It's like, yeah, hey, Nebuchadnezzar came in, broke everything, killed everyone. The weight of this is that the temple for the Jewish people was their connection with God. This is where they felt where they could worship, where they had this connection, where they felt the you've seen it when you've walked into church. Oh, I felt the spirit in there. I felt this connection with God. Well, now it's destroyed. And that's like taking the Holy Spirit away from you. Your connection with God is the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And you go, no, once the Holy Spirit comes into me, that's going to guide me home. But think about it. For them, it was more than Nebuchadnezzar coming in and destroying everything. It was bad enough that he came in and he killed women and children and men and just destroyed everything in his path. And now the temple, we would just be distraught. And now we're being taken away. And for 70 years, you guys know this, they were in Babylon. For 70 years. Why? Because of their disobedience and their idolatry. Those are the two things that you and I, if we're being honest in church, we struggle with. With disobedience, the Word of God tells us to behave this way. We need to do this. The Word of God says, people will know you're my disciples by the love you have one for another. Idolatry, the biggest idol that you and I can put in the throne room of our heart is ourself. We have to be so careful. And so again, it's the same thing. Well, you know this, under the decree of Cyrus, many returned back to Israel, back to Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple foundation and repair its walls. Now, catch this. We have talked each week that the temple wasn't the only thing that needed attention. Attention. God does a work in our hearts if you'll allow him. Sometimes we'll sit there and we'll say, hey, what did you learn? You see, there was a few of us that were crazy enough to do what they call the Murph Challenge on Monday. And after the Murph Challenge, I was asked what I learned. And there were some really neat things that God did in just seeing, just watching people, just how the, and here's how I want to correlate this. As I was learning, well, your pastor was on the ground, and that was the safest place. And I was just trying to catch my breath, but I had brothers come up to me and hey, are you okay? You're okay. Now, I was going to finish, but I needed my brothers. And the Lord spoke to me. He's like, watch this. I said this, and this is so cool because I want to correlate it to it. You know what? I had my brother Joseph. Joseph came out there, and you know what Joseph told me? He didn't say a thing. And you know what that? He was just there. You understand, sometimes you need a brother that's just there. He didn't say, well, you know, you should have trained. What a knucklehead you are. He didn't say, well, come on, get up, do something. He didn't do any of that. And it spoke to me volumes. And here's what God's doing. Sometimes in our Christian walks, we need a brother or sister to come alongside and just be there. In some of our hardest times, church, we need a brother. Just don't need to tell me all the things that I did right or wrong or what I should or shouldn't be doing. Sometimes I just need a brother to go, you want to sit down right here? You want to sit down? And then God showed me that as I came around the final, you had brothers that were running up to me saying, come on, we can. And I really think that's what we should do in the Christian walk, is we should be running to brothers going, come on, man, just a few more steps. You got this. Guys, when somebody walks the aisle here and gets saved, we shouldn't golf clap. Yeah, it's not going to last. It's not going to take. You say, when I passed that finish line, man, the brothers and sisters and all that were there rejoiced. It was a challenge. They rejoiced. High-fiving picture. Heaven is so much more. Why are we just golf clapping? We should be the most excited and come alongside. Come on, you made it. You made it. Wow. You go, well, what is that? Well, here's the thing, guys. Sometimes God uses the physical things to teach us spiritual, and that's what he's doing. Although they're rebuilding the physical temple, God wants to get to their hearts. He wants to get to their hearts because that's who he is. That's who he is. The temple wasn't the only thing that needed attention. It was their hearts. You go, why? Here's why. Many of them coming back, guys, had hard hearts. They had developed hard hearts over the years. They had forgotten God's law. And to make things worse, they were disregarding God's law in front of the people. Maybe that's good for you. I'm okay. Maybe God's a crutch for you. And you guys know that. And so God is so loving and so beautiful and so compassionate that he wants to do a work in the heart of the people. Here's why. Listen to me. God doesn't want us just to modify our behavior, to look and act like a Christian. That's not God's heart. God's heart is he wants to get deep inside. He wants to fix what's the problem. And then he wants us to behave because we have a relationship with him. Come on, somebody. We're good at modifying our behavior. We're good at praise God, amen. And we look and smell like a Christian and walk like a Christian and talk like a Christian. But God goes, no, I see deep in your heart and I need to change some things. And that's what he's doing with the children of Israel. I need to change some things. Now, keep this in mind. Last week, we discovered that the temple, guys, was finally finished after 20 years after the foundation was first laid. So it took a while. Just after 4 years of the rebuilding began under the ministries of Haggai and Zechariah. So in your mind, think about this. They came back excited. Yeah. And then opposition rose. Boo. And what happens? They stopped the work. For 16 years, the work stopped. It wasn't until Haggai rebukes them and Zechariah comes in and says, hey, come on. Come on, what are you doing? Here's the problem. The work is done, but the hearts of the people are still far from God. Oh, come on, somebody. We have to be so careful. It's only a work of God because you've heard it said, you can take them out of Egypt, but you can't take Egypt out of them. Only God can do that. And we can change your location. We can change your environment. We can put you somewhere else. But if you still have the world in you, only God's got to come in here and take all of that out. And it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so their hearts were still far from God. As a matter of fact, it was Jesus who quoted Isaiah, Matthew chapter 15, 8 and 9. Matthew 15, 8 and 9 says this. It says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. Notice, he says, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as the doctrines of the commandments of men. Guys, this is what Jesus quoted. He said, people are worshiping. He said, they're singing the songs. They know the words. He says, but really, their hearts are far from me. Listen, that's what's happening in the heart of the people here in the book of Ezra. The temple's completed, 16 years. They left the work. Where did they go during that 16 years? They began to work on their own houses, right? They're putting in sprinkler systems, making sure the backyard looked great, all of this stuff. They're working on their yards. And Haggai comes and he says, guys, consider your ways. Look at the house of God. Look at the temple. Why was that a big deal? I'll tell you why that was a big deal. Because again, the temple was a connection where they met with God. And they didn't have that. Now, if you're in any way prophetic, think about this. The Jewish people right now don't have a connection with God. Why? Because there's not a third temple. There's not a temple. You see, you and I know the Messiah, he's our connection with God, Jesus. And Jesus said, remember, it's imperative, it's expedient that I go away so I can come and bring you let you have the helper, the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so we have that, but if you don't have that, then they don't have a connection with God, and they haven't had a connection with God for a long time. So guess what happens? The prophet Haggai comes and rebukes them. Now, for the sake of application, so I can give you something to chew on the rest of the week, let's break down what's happening inside the heart of the folks, okay? Number one, if you're taking note, jot this down. They had a hard heart. They had a hard heart. That's not hard to do, to get a hard heart. You go, what do you mean? This usually happens. Now, I'm not saying all the time, but it usually happens when our ideals or misunderstanding about God happens in real life. Think about this. Many of the people here in the book of Ezra, think about this, okay? They thought that God would not allow them to be conquered. We're God's people. We're not going to be conquered, right? Nebuchadnezzar comes in, wipes them out. But even more than that, guys, think about this. For 40 years, Jeremiah prophesies that Babylon's coming in and they're going to take you away. And it's a 900-mile journey. Listen up. Oh, Jeremiah, you crazy. Jeremiah, go. No, we're God's people. We're going to be okay. He's not going to allow that to happen. Jeremiah's like, please, please, please listen up. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And what happens is Nebuchadnezzar comes in and he wipes everything out, and they were taken away to live in Babylon. You go, Pastor, what's your point? Here it is. Guys, think about this. Many of the Jewish people had a hardened heart towards God when they were forced to move. Now that they're home in Jerusalem, it sounds like there is a remnant of the hardness of heart. You go, what do you mean they were forced to move? Well, they thought one thing about God, and God said, no, I'm telling you what's going to happen. And then what happens is whatever God says, and yet here it is. You go, Ben, how does this apply to me today? Well, we call it being hurt by God. Many people, like, I've been hurt by God. And you go, well, how does God, like, how? Why would people say that? Here's why. Listen, there are people who have prayed for a loved one to live, and then they died. And the enemy comes in and goes, hey, man, if God really loved you, he would have listened to your prayer. I don't understand. And he died and so forth. Or maybe they prayed. You know this. This is real life, church. This is real life. They prayed for God's protection, and then they ended up hurt physically or even emotionally. And we've even had this. They've had someone who claimed to be a Christian do awful things. Awful things. And this, my friends, will often harden a heart towards the things of God. If God really loved you, he wouldn't allow that to happen. He wouldn't have. And we walk around with a hard heart from God. And the enemy is really good at doing that. Why? Because it separates us from a close walk with Jesus. Church, listen, listen, this is deep. Because we think we're going to be hurt again. And we get a picture of that. Now, listen, I heard a quote that sent chills up my spine. And I mean, I just, when it comes to a hard heart, check out this person. I'm going to put it up here because I want you to see this. He says this, quote, if you live in a graveyard too long, you stop crying when someone dies. Let that sink in. If you live in a graveyard too long, you stop crying when someone dies. And that's the hard heart. That's the hard heart. Here's my thought. It's time to let whatever it was that hurt you, whatever it was that confused you, whatever it is that lied to you, it's time to let your heart live again. As a matter of fact, it reminded me of a true story. This is a true story about a pastor in Ohio. And this pastor asked a member of his church, who was a surgeon, if he could be in the operating room to watch this open heart surgery. Well, the doctor permitted him to observe. The physician began the surgery and removed the woman's heart, repaired what was wrong, and placed it back in her chest. As he massaged her heart to get it going, it wouldn't beat. He tried to start it using other procedures, but nothing worked. True story. In an act of desperation, the surgeon knelt down beside the patient and said, "Mrs. Johnson, this is your surgeon. The operation went perfectly and your heart has been repaired, but you need to tell your heart to beat again." When he finished saying those words, immediately her heart began beating. Even though the surgeon did everything necessary to repair her heart, the patient needed to cooperate with him. By an act of her will, she had to start her own heart beating. This story inspired singer Randy Phillips to write this song, "Tell Your Heart to Beat Again." The story goes on to say, maybe you've been rejected, you've lost a loved one, your heart has stopped beating. Perhaps your spouse has betrayed you, your heart no longer beats. You've lost hope and your will to live. He says, remember, God is the great physician who can repair your heart, but you have to tell your heart to beat again. You must tell your heart to love again. You must command your heart to hope again. No matter what tragedy you've been through, you can live again and move forward with your life. Just tell your heart to beat again. Number two, the children of Israel, they had forgotten God's law. Go back in time with me for just a moment. God told the Israelites when they go to Babylon to go ahead and get comfortable. You remember that. They're going to be there for 70 years. God says, go ahead and plant vineyards, build houses. You're going to be there for a while. Now, let's say that Babylon is a type of the world. You go, okay, Pastor. We know that this 70 years is divine judgment. You go, amen, Pastor. They were to live out the gospel in a foreign land for God's glory, just like we're supposed to do. You and I, we're living in a foreign land. We're simply passing through. Our job is to what? To live out the gospel. But something happened within those 70 years. You go, what happened? They assimilated to the Babylonian culture and forgot God. And that is a danger for you and I, to assimilate to the worldly culture and forget who God is. Now, I'm preaching to the choir because you're here on a Wednesday night wanting to get fed the word of God, but we have to be so careful because if the children of Israel did, that is a real danger for us as well. Number three, the children of Israel were playing the hypocrite. The hypocrite. They were disregarding the law of God in front of the people. Think about it. They were playing the hypocrite. One blistering day, this hot day, when the guests for dinner, mother asked four-year-old Johnny to return thanks. "But I don't know what to say," the boy complained. "Oh, just say what you hear me say," his mother replied. Obediently, the boy bowed his head and mumbled, "Oh Lord, why did I invite these people over on a hot day like this?" That's the hypocrite, right? In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue,
Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.